Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. Let's begin with coming together to take a few moments to turn within, to tap into that place within all of us that we all share. A place of love and stillness beneath what we think of are our thoughts. And even if we don't feel aware of that space, simply connecting with our willingness to find it, our willingness to learn the truth about ourselves. I am willing. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. We place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. So with that love in your heart and light in your mind, and taking a nice mindful breath in and out, and coming together to our perception of right here, right now. I will briefly just read our page numbers of where we're at, and then I actually want to turn the table over to Deidre to make an announcement. So, if you have the Sparkle Edition, we are on page 299. And we're right smack in the middle of the page. It begins with the paragraph, "Your Father knoweth that you have need of nothing." So again, that's Sparkle Edition, page 299. In the original edition, it is in the hard copy, it's page 251. If you're on an online version, it is chapter 12, part 7, paragraph 68. Again, that's the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, and it also begins with, "Your Father knoweth that you have need of nothing." And last but not least, in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, I marked it, and where is it? Here it is. Okay. It's page 256, paragraph 10, and it's actually the second sentence. So this is just where the editing is a little bit different, so the paragraph break was different between the editions. So it's page 256 in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, paragraph 10, sentence number 2. "Your Father knoweth that you have need of nothing." Okay, Deidre, would you be willing to share with us what we were talking about before?
Sure, everyone listening to the call. I just wanted to share that as part of like as a course student and as someone, you know, trying to really, you know, lead by example using the course in my life, I make it as part of my spiritual practice to tithe any income that comes in. And it's been brought to my attention in the last few months that there's a beautiful soul in the Course in Miracles community who is currently living in Syria, and this is a part of the world that is experiencing on the level of form the picture of war. And so this soul is dealing with a lot, needing to have financial assistance to pay medical bills, rent, be able to buy food. His mother is experiencing some difficulty, and they're trying to be able to escape into Europe to find safety from the picture of war. So the Course in Miracles community is being asked to come forward, if they feel moved and feel able to support financially by giving donations. So I'm going to post something on MiracleShare that links back to a fundraising website that is being used to collect money for this individual, and I just wanted to share that on the call. So thank you very much for allowing me to do that.
Awesome. Thank you, Deidre. So that'll be on the ACIM study group on MiracleShare, where Deidre will post that link. So thank you, Deidre.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right, so if anybody on the call is new, or if anybody's listening who's new to our group, basically what we're just doing is taking it one paragraph at a time and making our way through the book, and after each paragraph we pause and share any insights or examples that come up, ask questions for each other. So that's pretty much the format that we follow. So again, I'm picking up in the Sparkle Edition, page 299, right in the middle of the page. And hopefully, if anybody needs me to repeat any of the other page references in the other editions, just let me know. So we're in the section, it's called The Attainment of the Real World. Here we go. Your Father knoweth that you have need of nothing. In heaven, this is so, for what could you need in eternity? In your world, you do need things because it is a world of scarcity in which you find yourself because you are lacking. Yet can you find yourself in such a world? Without the Holy Spirit, the answer would be no. Yet because of him, the answer is a joyous yes. As mediator between the two worlds, he knows what you have need of and what will not hurt you. Ownership is a dangerous concept if it is left to you. The ego wants to have things for salvation, for possession is its law. Possession for its own sake is the ego's fundamental creed, a basic cornerstone in the churches that it builds unto itself. And at its altar, it demands you lay all of the things it bids you get, leaving you no joy in them. So I'll pause there. So immediately, I guess I'll just begin by sharing. One of the first things that really jumps out at me about this paragraph is just like, yay for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our way out, and that's why as we are, you know, practicing the Course, it's all about turning to the Holy Spirit with that tiny little bit of willingness, and that's really all that is asked of us. So the Holy Spirit is... knows truth, has not forgotten the truth, and has still maintained that connection with us who have turned away from truth. And so as we turn to the Holy Spirit with our willingness, the Holy Spirit teaches us, again, that which we have thrown away, that which we have turned away from. So that's the first thing that jumps out at me in this paragraph. And the other thing that I'll just share is that the last couple of sentences where it's talking about possession, you know, of the ego, and the last sentence, how it says it, at its altar, it demands you lay all things, all of the things it bids you get, leaving you no joy in them. That reminded me of how the Course says that the ego's creed or the ego's motto is seek but do not find. The ego's going to sort of impel us to search out there for happiness in all different forms, but it guarantees that we're not going to find it. So no matter what we seek, we're not going to find what we're looking for if we're looking with the ego in the world. So I'm wondering what came up for any of you. Nothing. We can keep reading. That works too.
Well, you know, I have something that, you know, looking in things, looking after things, like, what do you really need? Like, I think we get confused between basic needs and what we think we need.
Uh-huh.
And,
uh-huh.
You know, the whole issue that, you know, we get involved with the ego. And I think, really, this is one of the reasons why these calls are so successful, is that we kind of end up reaching a common ground. At least that's the way I feel. near the end of the call, I get this sense like, gee, you know, it's not just me. I'm not the only one that feels this way.
Mm-hmm.
There's others,
mm-hmm.
right? And you get this sense of belonging, which is extremely valuable, at least for me, and I'm trying not
oh,
to.
Oh, absolutely.
That, right?
Absolutely.
And that's Paula, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Paula, I listen to you like, you know, you're it. I mean, you really, in terms of, you really, your viewpoints are very, they're great, fabulous. And the same thing applies to everyone on the call. But definitely the mistake, you think you get a new car, and it's like, that is going to save you.
Right.
And it's just empty.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
when we connect on these calls, and I think, oh, someone else feels that way. I just get this sense of belonging or common something. I can't find the word, but the ego, of course, is trying to pull us away from all that, and it's all empty. So I've learned so much about ego since I've been listening and participating. You know. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Oh,
it's a kind of a sense of well-being that I get, you know, this connection. It's wonderful.
It is, and we're reinforcing these ideas for ourselves. By sharing them, we're strengthening them in our own mind. So that's what I get out of this, that as we come together and talk about these ideas and share our experiences, it's just reinforcing my own learning in my mind, as I'm sure it's doing, you know, for a lot of us too. So absolutely. That connection is super, super valuable. And this is what we need. This is what we're looking for is, you know, again, that love with a capital L, that remembrance of the truth about ourselves, because that's where that nourishing, complete, deeply peaceful, deeply satisfying feeling comes from. We can't find that feeling anywhere outside of ourselves.
And then just real quick to follow up, I encountered a person at work, a woman who's having a lot of medical problems, and she just had a laundry list. She was confiding in me. She was just telling me, this is wrong and that's wrong, and I've done this incorrectly and that's wrong, and my husband left me, and a whole laundry list. And she says, I pray and I get no answer. And I found myself saying things like, talk to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already there, you know, just to echo what we've discussed. And she said it really helped her, so I felt great about that.
Aww,
you know?
Awesome, yeah. That's really
awesome. So with that, I need more of a definition, because I'm really I'm not quite clear on Holy Spirit, and I'm really having a difficult time with this. So after all this time, it doesn't matter. I just help.
Yeah. Of course. So the Holy Spirit is the part of our own mind. Like, the Holy Spirit is nothing outside of ourselves. The Holy Spirit is the part of our own higher mind that has not forgotten who we truly are. It has not forgotten that we are eternal, that we are not these bodies, that you are not Angela, that I am not Corinne. It fully, fully knows that. It's the part of our mind that knows that we are one and eternal and connected. And that's it. So the
okay.
Holy Spirit is literally in you. It's part of your own mind.
Okay. Almost like if I had to reinterpret, you know, to be able to say it's the higher self.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Possibly? Okay.
That works, definitely.
The truth about us.
Yes.
Okay.
You got it.
Because I really have a hard time going outside of myself for the answer these days, and you know, so that helps me. I keep thinking Holy Spirit is out there, and
right.
So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I think that, I mean, it's just by giving it a name, it's like sort of we have that temptation to think that it's something outside of us. It's all, you know, it's all part of our own mind. So
okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anybody else have anything come up so far? You know, I'll just share one other thing before we move on. that, how it says in the very beginning, your father, of the paragraph, your father knoweth that you have need of nothing. In heaven, this is so, for what could you need in eternity? In your world, you do need things because it is a world of scarcity in which you find yourself because you are lacking. Actually, this example, I'll just share it anyway. This is a teaching that just has always really resonated with me. And so in terms of needs that I think I have, now my lessons, believe me, as you know, have come in all different, you know, other forms in terms of anxiety and concerns about the body and that sort of thing. In this area of trusting, excuse me, that what I need will be provided, that's always been a very, like, open pathway for me. And I'll just give an example. When I was finishing up graduate school, and I just sort of said, I don't want to even interview for a job. I just want it to be presented to me. I'm just going to trust that I'm going to end up exactly where I need to be. And I sort of always kept with that belief that I'm going to be exactly where I need to be and what I need is going to be provided. And it's always worked out that way. I've never interviewed for any of the jobs that I've had. They've only just been, you know, they've just shown up. They've just been presented. So I just wanted to emphasize that idea about, you know, trusting that what we need will be provided. And if we feel a lack of trust in that area, that lack of trust is just something to look at with the Holy Spirit. Because, again, there's going to be some areas where it seems like it's really easy for us to trust and other areas where it's like, hell no, I have to do it myself. And however that shows up for us, that's simply where we need to look at it with the Holy Spirit.
I have to say that it's so funny that you just brought that up, Corinne, because I remember you sharing that, like months ago. And I kept it in the back of my head because I was just in that process of needing to find something pretty quick, and not it didn't seem to be happening. And I remember you saying that, and there were times I was like, I wonder how she actually did that. And I mean, I know how you did it, but you know, just having that trust. And I would think of that, and actually, that's what happened for me. It ended up that the perfect thing came up. And it didn't happen until I started letting go. I mean, there was one point where I was like, if I keep trying to force this, it's like the ego part of me keeps trying to find something. It drove me crazy. It just brought up so much fear and tension. And when I finally just said, I just let go, I know something's going to happen and I'll be in the right place and surrendered. It did. I mean, not right away, but it did happen. And in retrospect, it totally made sense. But it's just so funny that you brought that up tonight. Because, I mean, I haven't been on the call for a few weeks because of work and whatever. And then it's almost like coming full circle, hearing you tell that story again.
That's awesome.
Oh, you know, one other thing that occurs to me in this is this notion that we think we know how it's supposed to happen.
Right.
You know, it's that recognition that we don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, my God, Deidre talked about this recently, too. I read something in The Power of Now. He says, how can you come up with a solution to any problem if you think you already know? Nothing truly new and creative can come into a closed mind. Mm. That is, but you know, it's like the ego has a way of making that. I never really thought of it that way before, that, oh, I must have a closed mind if I think nothing, you know.
Right.
Oh, that's really powerful. It's hard. When I think I know, I get so blocked and so crazy, and I have a lot of anxiety. So,
yeah.
There you go.
I love what you said, Paul, because I've been in situations in my life where, you know, honestly, reflecting on it now, I know that I was trying to will something to happen. And there's such a huge difference energetically between the feeling of, you know, like when you're efforting and when you're trying to make something happen, you're trying to will something to happen, whereas just being willing to totally surrender, like Paul said. And I've had a couple of, you know, moments over the past few weeks where, because I've been really just focusing on completely surrendering. You know, when I first started this whole school search, I really had, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but I had some set ideas about where I thought I wanted to go and, you know, how I thought it should, you know, materialize. And, you know, even just the timing, like I was thinking, oh, it's not really showing up. I still don't have any information. Oh, dear, you know, and I was kind of unknowingly going to that worrying place. And I just sat with God the other day and I was just like, you know what? I'm yours. I'm your instrument. So whatever you want me to do, I'm fine with that. I don't need to know the answers. And I am so peaceful now about it. Like, I don't have any doubt that I will be going to school. But I'm not in the place of constantly going, oh, dear, like, oh, God. What's going to happen? What am I going to do? You know, I'm just totally like, whatever happens, happens. And it's such an easier way to live.
It sure is.
Wow.
I really, thank you for sharing that. I really resonate with that because I think when I'm in that place of that trust and just recognizing that the life that I'm living is no longer my own, it's such a freedom to just, you know that I'll just show up wherever I'm guided to go and I don't have to worry about a thing.
Yeah.
It's really, really a good feeling. And I've been in that place, you know, for a little while now, and it's just like, why did I ever defend against this? Why did I defend against it for so long? Because it's really wonderful.
Yeah.
It feels really good.
Yeah, well, it's like once you ask God to intervene, everything else is done. Like, so don't even, I mean, it's so funny how the mind will choose things to fixate on and think that it has control, whereas it's so much easier to just go, I don't have any control. I don't know anything.
I just want to share that this week I was with a friend and I was sitting with my computer and I went on to Deidre's site and was reading her blog, which I hadn't read in a very long time. But I was so inspired. There was this, I guess I was led to read this this posting of you, Deidre, talking about getting a new place. And oh my gosh, it was just one message after another where I was like, okay, I let go when this happened and I let go when that happened. And I'm going, oh, this is so cool. Because it was actually exactly what this friend and I had been reading about. And we were both excited to be able to share in your manifestation and how effortlessly it happened. So thank
beautiful.
You.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. Oh, beautiful. Let's read the next paragraph. Everything that the ego tells you that you need will hurt you. For although the ego urges you again and again to get, it leaves you nothing. For what you get, it will demand of you. And even from the very hands that grasped it, it will be wrenched and hurled into the dust. For where the ego sees salvation, it sees separation. And so you lose whatever you have gotten in its name. Therefore, ask not of yourselves what you need, for you do not know, and your advice unto yourself will hurt you. For what you think you need will merely serve to tighten up your world against the light and render you unwilling to question the value that this world can really hold for you. I think that's a riot that we just and we just, this is just what we were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, not believing that we think we know and when we realize that we don't know. That's where the healing comes in. Pretty funny.
Mm.
I'll just add, you know, this idea of like the first sentence says, everything that the ego tells you that you need will hurt you. It goes on to clarify this. What that's saying is that, you know, if we're seeking anything of the world, whatever it may be, you know, the big ones are like fame and money, a better house, whatever that may be, better car. Keep in mind, because we can feel guilty. Guilt can arise if we look within and notice that, like, well, I have those, you know, desires there for these certain things. It's not about feeling guilty. It's not what this means by it will hurt you is that those things are just reinforcing this idea that we're a separate self. So if I'm seeking, you know, whatever it is in the world, I'm seeking it, and it's reinforcing my sense of separation. It's keeping me believing that I'm Corinne rather than letting it perhaps, let me say that a little bit differently. It's keeping me believing that I'm Corinne, but if I am a happy learner and choosing to not feel guilty about my learning, if I still need to seek, if I feel compelled to seek after that thing in the world, all I do is say, Holy Spirit, welcome in. I'm giving this to you. I'm going to go for this because I feel like I need to, and I'm giving it to you. The Holy Spirit will use anything that we give the Holy Spirit on behalf of our awakening. Even if it's, you know, seemingly ego things, the Holy Spirit will use anything. So there's no guilt in feeling, you know, if we have feelings about wanting to go after something in the world. The thing is that if we go after it and we don't invite the Holy Spirit in, it's just reinforcing our sense of separation. And that's how it hurts us, because we're not separate. And so it's keeping our true identity away from our awareness.
I think, Corinne, you've mentioned before on the calls, because we've been coming for a couple of years now, and you've always mentioned that the Holy Spirit can use anything, mm-hmm. because God is in everything. That's a course lesson. Mm-hmm. But it's like, we can choose to use something for our small mind, or we can choose something for our awakening. And I think this is so huge when you're talking about things like financial abundance, or like a job or a career or something. Because like you said, it can so easily go straight down the guilt path. But if you think about financial abundance in terms of, well, if I'm earning a lot of money, then I have, you know, maybe ten times more to tithe back out, and keeping the flow going. That's just one example of, you know, how you can, your perception can be different in terms of, you know, I don't have to choose to be living in a lackful state. I can choose abundance and use that abundance as, you know, how another way that I'm expanding spirit outward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for adding that. I think that's a great example. Anybody else? Or we can read the next paragraph.
There is one sentence I read today that I thought was interesting, because it's, you know, when we do have these desires for things out in the world, and then it turns on us, you know, and then we feel guilty about whatever. It says, yet if the Holy Spirit can commute each sentence that you laid upon yourself into a blessing, then it cannot be sin. So he, no matter what we do,
mm-hmm.
no matter what we do, he can commute each sentence that you laid upon yourself into a blessing. Oh, my God. What do we have to worry about?
Nothing.
Nothing. Not one thing. I get this feeling. I mean, some really nice things have been taking place, and I find myself kind of projecting out into the future about, oh, how it could be. And what I'm just starting to realize, not to do that so much. I mean, be here now, right? There's so much freedom being alive and realizing, recognizing right now, you know, I don't know if I'm...
You're making such an important point.
It's liberation. It's absolute liberation. And again, going into whatever it is, whatever new circumstance with an open mind, knowing that I don't know how this should take place, but I'm bringing the Holy Spirit along with me into this situation and remembering to keep doing that, you know, just remembering and not allowing, you know, yourself to get too sidetracked. Again, it's challenging,
right?
Very challenging. Mm-hmm. But possible.
Absolutely, absolutely.
How do you build trust in Holy Spirit?
By constantly asking for Holy Spirit's help. Angela, you just said it before. Help.
Yeah.
Help me. Help me.
Okay.
Now.
Just noticing what happens.
Doesn't mean that you don't prepare, right? I mean, you know,
for example,
you still prepare like there is. You know, this is a big week. I'm a floral manager, and so we have Valentine's Day coming up, and I'm a little bit nervous. It doesn't mean that I don't go in. It would be like preparing for a show or preparing for, you know, and I know I'm just saying, okay, I literally have to sit down with paper and pen, you know what I mean, and prepare.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, maybe I have to do that work, but at the same time, I ask the Holy Spirit to... for help.
Yeah.
Correct?
To do it with
you. Exactly. Either you do it with spirit or you do it with ego.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Yeah. I've had so many instances of feeling, having my to-do list and just being like, ugh, this is drudgery, you know, that type of feeling. And when I stop and remember, oh, yeah, I can, there's a part in the Ur text, I know I brought this up in the past, where Jesus is speaking to Helen and Bill saying, give me the minutiae so you can spend more time with me. Give me all the little nitty-gritty crap that you think you have to deal with during the day so I can help you with it and you can spend more time with me. So whatever you have to do, just like Paul just said, do it with spirit or do it, you know, or the alternative is to even not even do it with ego, just do it totally alone, which is because the ego is nothing.
Yeah.
So ask for the Holy Spirit to be with you. For help as you're planning and doing what you have to do.
I was saying to you, Corinne, before the call started about the social media work that I'm doing for a project for school. And so I've been, it's self-directed, so we had to create, you know, a schedule of what we were going to do for each month because this class, I think, is 4 months. And so we had to come up with a schedule. And last Friday, I had my monthly meeting with the instructor who, you know, looks over all of the work that you're supposed to get done and make sure you're staying to your schedule. And I came up with this massively huge plan of working myself just like an obscene amount of work. My initial proposal was I was going to come up with 24 months of social media material, and I was going to do this in 4 month time frame. And so I was, the last month, I've just been working like crazy trying to get 182 images completed and so that she can see them. And I wasn't there. I was even close. I think I was like 50 images short, and they weren't at the quality level that I wanted them to be at. And I was sitting up one night and I was like, okay, Spirit, I know that this is where I'm at right now, and I'm just not going to get where I said that I was supposed to be. Like, I recognize that, but I know that there can be a shift in perception here. I invite you to come to this meeting with me and show me a better way to see this. So I'm sitting there with the instructor, and I'm, you know, I don't plan what I'm going to say. I just go in there and I often pray beforehand, and then I just am like, whatever comes out, and I sat down and I said, look, I overprojected my plan, like I gave myself too much work to do, and I would like some direction from you as my supervisor about how I can effectively come up with, you know, a better plan so that by April I've completed what I need to do for the class, but it's in a manageable way. And keep in mind that I had missed 50 images. So I had shown her some of the ones that I had done, but I was thinking prior to this meeting that I was going to have to go through and show her every single image that I had done, and then she would be aware that I wasn't where I was supposed to be. But that didn't happen at all. She said, I don't want to sit there and look through all your images. I recognize that I was supposed to put 32 hours in, and I put 97.
Oh, my goodness.
And she said, you've got way too much work. And she said, I want you to do, by the end of this project, I want you to have 64 images. And my original plan had like 2 years worth, so 365 times two, which is seven, something ridiculous anyway. And my point is Spirit just took over. I went away from meeting with a completely manageable plan.
Mm-hmm.
And my point is, I had no idea that any of this is going to materialize, but I just gave it over. And this is what happened. And she went away knowing how hard I'd worked, the work that I'd put into the project, but I came away with something a lot more doable and manageable and something that's going to serve my clients. So it was perfect.
That is perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
Thank you, Deidre, for such a powerful, powerful example of that shift, that willingness to have a different perception and look what happened. That's awesome.
But the small mind was sitting, you know, the night before going, you didn't get this done, and trying to get me to go down the guilt path of, you should have, you know, done more all-nighters, and I really had already done several. But, and, you know, it's just insanity, and I look back at it now, and I chose not to go down that road.
And he will commute each sentence that you laid upon yourself into a blessing.
Exactly.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
There is the perfect example of what that line means. The Holy Spirit can commute each sentence that you laid upon yourself into a blessing. Hallelujah.
That meeting could not have gone better. Like,
no.
It was God. It was not. It was not me. It was God. Well, it was me, but, you know, it was the God in me, not the other thing.
Yeah.
And it was your choice.
Mm-hmm.
You chose that. That's really where the power comes in. When we remember to choose for the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we think that we have to, like, make things hard. We think that we have to do all this work and work really, really hard and earn and earn and earn. And God is saying, no, it's already there. You're already worthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's already done. Just like Corinne was saying, just choose to spend more time with me and give me the crap that you think that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's all.
Awesome. Awesome.
It is awesome.
It is awesome. Wow. That's cool. That's great.
Let's read the next paragraph and keep with the same theme. Only the Holy Spirit knows what you need, for he will give you all things that do not block the way to light. And what else could you need? In time, he gives you all the things that you need have and will renew them as long as you have need of them. He will take nothing from you as long as you have any need of it. And yet he knows that everything you need is temporary. and will but last until you step aside from all your needs and learn that all of them have been fulfilled. Therefore, he has no investment in the things that he supplies, except to make certain that you will not use them on behalf of lingering in time. He knows that you are not at home there, and he wills no delay to wait upon your joyous homecoming. So when we're just going back to this sentence, he has no investment in the things that he supplies except to make certain that you will not use them on behalf of lingering in time. If we're using them on behalf of lingering in time, that's likely because, again, we're using them with nothingness or with the idea, you know, of a separate self, of the ego. And so we're just delaying that awareness, that recognition of the love that we are. Does anybody have anything come up for you in this paragraph? I guess it's just another important point to emphasize that there's no sacrifice. We're never, ever, ever asked to sacrifice anything. Sacrifice, the idea of sacrifice is only ever of the ego, of the belief in a separate self, and the belief that we can actually lose things. That's an ego belief.
This is an interesting line. He says he will take nothing from you as long as you have any need of it. So how do you see that, Corinne?
He will take nothing from you as long as you have any need of it. So I guess just one of the things that comes up is if it's something that is currently serving us in some way to, again, help us with our awakening. If it's an opportunity for us to, you know, if it's some sort of opportunity for a lesson being that miracle that we can see, a shift in perception. I know I'm not giving any concrete examples at the moment, but if it's just something, I look at it as if it's something that we, that is serving us in our journey as we awaken, then it's going to hang around. If we no longer need it, it falls away. And that's the thing I think that's important to sort of emphasize in this paragraph, is that the Holy Spirit doesn't take anything away. When we no longer need something because it's no longer serving us, it falls away. We're the ones that choose to relinquish, to release, whatever that thing may be. Does anybody have any concrete examples? I don't have any coming to mind at the moment.
Well, it just seems to me that when we think we know, and we get in these situations where we get anxious, and he's not going to take that from us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's where it's really up to us to say, help, please take this.
Right.
And then the natural path of, I'm always so amazed at how whenever I ask for that kind of help, knowing that I don't know the answer, how it just naturally, everything just naturally shifts and turns out so well, far beyond what I could imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
And the anxiety kind of melts and...
Definitely. Definitely. I think I heard Carol.
Yeah, I have an example.
Oh, awesome.
Actually, I was Skyping with my daughter this evening, and she was taking, I call it like a fluff class she has to take, and it was on 50s music. And granted, she's 20 years old, so, you know, she wasn't around in the 50s. But, you know, she had one quiz, and then she had another quiz, and she wasn't satisfied with, you know, what she got. And she was, like, thinking about, you know, what should I do about this? Should I drop it? What should I do? So she was processing it with us this evening. And she said, Mom, I think I'm going to drop it. She said, there's this photography course that I could take next semester. And as she said that, I was like, oh, Catherine, this is so divine, because
Paula was actually standing in our kitchen last night, and my daughter does a lot of photography work. And she said, is she taking a photography class in college? She needs to be taking one. And I said, Catherine, you're supposed to take this photography class. And it was just the coolest thing to be able to share that with her, because she was very open to letting it go and bring the other course in.
That's awesome.
She's going to love it.
Well, but I mean, it was I was able to share. This is exactly what Paula just said last night.
She has a talent. She has a real talent for that. So that class is going to be, it's going to be a great class for her.
Yeah, but you know, it's like only the Holy Spirit knows what you need. She tried her, you know, she took a couple quizzes in this other course, and it was like, Mom, it's just not working. It's just not resonating. And she's like, I got to step back from it. And it's just like, yeah, right, you need to. And then she said about this photography class, and it I just chuckled because I was
That's awesome.
Yeah, this is the way to go. Now, this isn't even, I mean, she's majoring in, like, physical therapy, so this is just one of her loves. But it's just something that, you know, it came effortlessly.
Mm. I love it. That's beautiful. Thank you, Carol, for sharing that.
You're welcome.
One other thing that came up for me that I'll share, too, is that I often might not know if I'm using something on behalf of lingering in time. In other words, I know enough at this point to know how sneaky and subtle and insidious the ego can be. Just, again, when we've talked on previous calls about the ego just being a belief system for separation. So I have witnessed in my own life how subtle that belief in separation can slip in. So because I don't trust that I can judge what I am, you know, using on behalf of the separation, or using, you know, with the ego versus using with spirit, I make it a practice to routinely give everything in my life to the Holy Spirit. And I know I think I've shared this before, just literally going through my laundry list and saying, Holy Spirit, take my body, take my health, take my, you know, give me your thoughts, take my money, take my house, you know, here's my husband, here's my relationships. Like, I'm putting it all in your loving arms, because I don't want to use any of this. I don't want to misuse any of this. I want to give it all to you and let the truth be revealed to me through, you know, through these relationships, through however, you know, it's going to show up. So I just felt moved to share that.
Wow.
What and really Corinne, cute. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just, go ahead, Deidre, because I just wanted to say something before we start reading again.
Oh, okay. I was just going to, what came through for me when you were reading the last part, Corinne, was that God or Holy Spirit or angels or whatever word that you want to use honors every experience that we have while we're here on while we think we're here on the level of form. So, like, if we experience supreme joy from, you know, having music around, like, that's a huge, huge, huge source of joy for me. I have a silly nickname for myself. I call myself musically obsessed all the time. And if I didn't have the means to be able to, you know, immerse myself in music and have that experience on the level of form here, I wouldn't be where I am today, you know, as a course teacher doing my life purpose work. I just wouldn't be. And so I feel that really came through really strongly, is that God honors everything that we experience. So, because a part of the quote was talking about God doesn't take anything away that serves us. I don't remember the exact wording that you mentioned, Corinne, but that just really came through really strongly, is that anything that brings us closer to our joy, to our love, to our truth is, you know, there for us to experience, having the experiential moment of love to draw upon so that we really know what it feels like.
To add to what you just said, Didi, too, you made me think of another course quote about how God honors even our miscreations. So our miscreations are all of our fears and separation thoughts and separation beliefs, and the reason that God can't just take it away from us and fix it is because that's not how the universe works. God doesn't interfere. God gave us, you know, creation, and in that, God honors even our miscreations, and therefore that's why it's our responsibility to say, hey, help, I don't want this anymore. I'm giving this back to you, and give me back the truth instead. So that quote came to mind, so I figured I'd throw that out there.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. And Carol, you wanted to share something.
Well, when you were sharing, Corinne, I looked down when you were done sharing, and the first line of the next paragraph says, leave then your needs to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's read that. We have a couple minutes left. Leave then your needs to him. He will supply them with no emphasis at all upon them. What comes to you of him comes safely, for he will ensure it never can become a dark spot, hidden in your mind and kept to hurt you. Under his guidance, you will travel light and journey lightly, for his sight is ever on the journey's end, which is his goal. God's son is not a traveler through outer worlds. However holy his perception may become, no world outside himself holds his inheritance. Within himself, he has no needs, for light needs nothing but to shine in peace, and from itself to let the rays extend in quiet to infinity. Whenever we are tempted to undertake a foolish journey that would lead away from light, remember what you really want and say, the Holy Spirit leads me unto Christ. Where else would I go? What need have I but to awake in him? Then follow him in joy with faith that he will lead you safely through all dangers to your peace of mind that this world sets before you. Kneel not before the altars to sacrifice, and seek not what you will surely lose. Content yourselves with what you will as surely keep, and be not restless, for you undertake a quiet journey to the peace of God, where he would have you be in quietness. I feel moved to keep reading. I hope that's okay. We got two more paragraphs. In me, you have already overcome every temptation that would hold you back. We walk together on the way to quietness that is the gift of God. Hold me dear, for what except your brothers can you need? We will restore to you the peace of mind that we must find together. The Holy Spirit will teach you to awaken unto us and to yourself. This is the only real need to be fulfilled in time. Salvation from the world lies only here. My peace I give you. Take it of me in glad exchange for all the world has offered but to take away. And we will spread it like a veil of light across the world's sad face, in which we hide our brothers from the world and it from them. We cannot sing redemption's hymn alone. My task is not completed until I have lifted every voice with mine. And yet it is not mine, for as it is my gift to you, so was it the Father's gift to me, given me through his Spirit. The sound of it will banish sorrow from the mind of God's most holy Son, where it cannot abide. Healing in time is needed, For joy cannot establish its eternal reign where sorrow dwells. You dwell not here, but in eternity. You travel but in dreams while safe at home. Give thanks to every part of you that you have taught how to remember you. Thus does the Son of God give thanks unto his Father for his purity. That gave me goosebumps. isn't this just all so reassuring? There's just, there's just so much reassurance here to me that there's so many sentences that I love. You dwell not here but in eternity. You travel but in dreams while safe at home. We have nothing to fear. Oh, does anybody have anything that came up for you in that reading just then? That was about four paragraphs.
In the last paragraph, I had a question. Is that the Holy Spirit speaking to us, or is that Jesus speaking to us?
Jesus.
It's something about, as it is my gift to you, so was it my Father's gift to me.
Mm-hmm. Given me through his Spirit, and his Spirit would be the Holy Spirit. Yes, this is Jesus speaking to us.
This is Jesus. Okay.
Any other questions or comments or insights or anything strike you?
Well, just that it's loaded with faith and optimism. I think you are too, Corinne. You're very optimistic.
Mm.
Wonderful.
And very helpful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's the course. It's the course. We're all, we all help each other. I am helped by all of you, and I'm just so grateful. So grateful. So
same.
Oh, thank you, everyone. Let's go.
Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night. Love you all.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Love you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.